Father, thank you for your presence. Lord, we welcome you in Jesus' name. And we ask that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would come and lead us and teach us. Lord, we want to honor you this morning. We want to say we love you. And Father, we open our hearts, Lord. And we ask you that your word, Father, would come forth and bring truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for spiritual warfare, Lord. Lord, you know all things. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal our hearts to us. And Father, we thank you that your word is truth, Lord. So may the veil of our eyes, Lord, be removed. And may we understand, may we experience, and may the power of your presence, Father, come and dismantle every assignment of the evil one in Jesus' name. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, Lord. And we say, Lord, come and have your way in our lives. May we walk in victory, Father, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the cross. And may we know who we are in Christ. So, Holy Spirit, come and show us your way. Teach us. You are the best teacher, Lord. And pour your grace upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to do spiritual warfare 2 today. First John 5, 19 through 20. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Knowing the authority in Christ. Now, we know that we have the victory in Christ because of the cross. Isn't that so? And we as Christians are supposed to walk in victory because of the cross that Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago. But lots of the times we don't walk in that victory. Though Jesus died and he gave us the keys, he gave us that the power of the Holy Spirit, Satan comes and he brings deception and he allows us to walk in his manipulation, and we often get tripped up by Satan. And so though Satan is, his demons and his power is strong, but God is bigger. God can do anything. And so, as I said last week, Satan doesn't have power over us until we give him power. And how we give him power is by opening ourselves to the lies of the evil one. Amen? And so, knowing our authority, knowing your authority in Christ, the authority that we walk in, so if we know the authority, then we begin to walk in the truth of God's word. Lots of the times, you know what? We could be Christians for 20 years, but if we take the word, we just read it, and we don't believe it, and we don't walk in it, it is not going to work for us. And so we have to take the word, and lots of the times we make decisions not according to what God's word says, but according to what our thinking is. And so we need to begin to change our thinking the way what God says we need to do, not what our mind tells us to do. And so we can, as Christians, we can live very loose lives, as in, oh, we can just take God's grace and continue to say, oh, it's God's grace. But what happens is Satan keeps us in the place of deception. And we don't walk in God's truth. And so, entering into the spirit world, Let's go to Luke 10, 17 through 18.
What version?
Give me a New King James version, please. Can someone read that? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know, we have so much of authority. We have so much of authority that we carry. You know, I don't know if you received my newsletter probably about 8 months ago. God told me to go to New York, and then if you God told me to go to New York.
It was God, right?
It was okay. God. Well, if y'all can remember that issue was going on with that the Muslims building that mosque, a block away from 9/11, and. I felt the Lord say to me, go down there and I want you to go and anoint the building, and I want you to go and pray against the spirit of Islam. And so I said, okay, Lord. So I got there and I got to the hotel, and anyway, got to the place, and before I can get to the place, I knew, while I was on the plane, before I can get off, the Holy Spirit said to me, ask the flight attendant if you can take a blanket. That's a blanket? So I'm like, okay. And she was sitting right in front of me. I said, can I please take a blanket? She said, yeah, fine, take a blanket. So anyway, I took a blanket and I put it into my bag. Didn't steal it. She told me I can't take it. Anyway, so got to the hotel, and I, as soon as God sent to me, I want you to go down the store, buy a bottle of olive oil, I want you to anoint the building, and so I was like, okay, Lord, I go down there, and when I get there, the whole building is barricaded, there's police standing all over, and I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do, how am I going to do this? And so next to the building, there was this little pub. And in front of the pub, there was this, a concrete seat, seating. And so what I did was I just went and sat over there and I just started praying. So I took the olive oil and I just, opened the bottle and I was like, okay. Because the walls, how New York is, the buildings are together, So I could touch the other wall and I'm pouring the oil over that, I'm like, okay, Lord, this is what I'm doing. You want me to do it? I'm doing it. So, and I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, God, how do you want me to get in here? And so suddenly this one kid runs out of the building, and then he comes and sits right next to me, And so I said to him, hey, can I go inside? And he said, yeah. And he calls me, so I was like, okay. So I take my bag, by the time I get to the other side, across the barrier, he was gone in. So I got in there, and I'm there, and I'm walking down this passageway, and this huge guy comes to me and he says, what do you want here? And I'm like, oh, I came to visit. And he's like, oh, we're closed, you better go. So I said, oh, okay. And it was totally the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, yeah, I'm South African. And he turned around and his face just, he's, you know, changed. And he said, oh, you're South African. And he became softer. He said, I've been to South Africa. And so he started speaking to me. Now, there's a Muslim guy, a black guy with a, one of those beanies on his head, you know. And he says, oh, I love South Africa. And then I said to him, I said, can I pray? And he said, oh, you want to make salam? And I said,
kind of. Yeah.
So he said, oh, take your shoes off. So I took my shoes off, and so he walked me down. He said, come, I'll show you where the ladies pray. Takes me down there and leaves me, and I went on the carpet, and I went on my knees. And as soon as I went on my knees, the Holy Spirit said to me, because before I left the hotel, God told me to take this blanket and put it in my bag. And I was thinking, maybe it's going to be cold. I don't know. And I got there and I went on my knees, and the Holy Spirit said to me, take that and put it over your head. Because Muslims cover their heads when they pray. So I took the blanket and I covered my head and I began to pray. I took that oil and I anointed the carpet there. But when I began to pray, man, I tell you, I heard demons squeak. I mean, I literally heard the demons going, yeah! I was like, whoa, I could hear it in the spirit. It was amazing. It was awesome what God did. Just came in there and just broke down every stronghold and hindrance. And that's the authority that we carry. It's nothing about us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives us in wisdom. He opens the doors and he directs us to pray. And that's the authority we have in Christ. And there's nothing that we can do that we have, but it is all about him. Amen? And so that's why when God puts you in a situation, don't think, oh God, I don't know if I can do it. You know, it is Christ in you is the hope of glory. And when you need to do what God's called you to do, He'll give you the ability to do it at that very moment. Any questions?
You know, in 1 John 5, it says, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And yet we hear God is in control. We keep hearing that. How do you explain?
When Jesus came, Jesus said all, you know, when Satan, remember when Jesus was on his 40-day fast, and Jesus took him into, you know, and he started testing him and took him through those trials and took him, and Satan said, I have all authority and I'll give it to you. And what Jesus says, Jesus came back with the word. That, you know, so what is really that Satan had the authority. Satan came and took the authority in the garden. And then Jesus came back. He wanted that authority. And he gave it to the church. Okay. But he didn't destroy Satan. He left Satan first. So we went... Jesus gave us the keys. He said, all authority I give to you. For Satan said, I have all the authority. Come, and if you worship me, he told Jesus, then I'll give you the authority. I'll give you the authority of the word. And Jesus said, you know, he used the word, and he came against Satan. And so, because we have the authority, and we walk in the authority, but if we have opened ourselves to sin, guess what happens? Who comes in? Satan. So we don't have to walk in that authority of where Satan has us. We can all, you remember I said to you, we always identify our sin and we always walk above our spiritual atmosphere, above the spiritual atmosphere, but even the issues of our hearts. It's the issues of our hearts that that we have to deal with every single day. So we know that we are children of God. We know we are children of God, but do we know our authority in Christ? And that the whole world is under the sway and control of the evil one. If we look at the world right now, what's going on? Everything is falling apart around us. But we are the children of God, and we stand strong because who lives in us? Christ lives in us. And Christ in us is the hope of glory, and we live and move and have our beings in Him, and do not allow the wicked one and the evil one to come and manipulate us and allow the strongholds of the world, of our lives, everyday lives, our sin stuff that Satan comes and attacks us with. We will not live under that, under the control of the evil one, as children of God. But if we open ourselves to the sinful stuff, we will live under the control. Satan comes and he takes control. Does that make sense? Any questions? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Corinthians 10:3-5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So what does this mean? Though we walk in the flesh, we are flesh and blood. Remember in Ephesians 6:10, it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. And this says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We war according to the Spirit. That's how we walk. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in pulling down strongholds. What is our weapons? You remember what we spoke about it last week? What is our weapons?
The Word.
The Word.
Power of the Holy Spirit.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
The blood of Christ.
The blood of Jesus.
Our testimony.
Our testimony. Anybody else? Praise and worship. Did we get it all? And so that's our weapons. Okay? We don't use weapons like what... we're going to go through the armor, and we're going to see what Paul identifies with what the soldier uses and how we should be walking. But that's why we need to recognize that this is our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in pulling down strongholds. And the strongholds is sinful stuff that get a hold. A stronghold is something that holds you in captivity, and that's where we need to loose ourselves from the strongholds that the world tries to get a hold of us. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself. What's the arguments? You know, when Satan comes and begins to, when, you know, if you have stuff that's going on, you know, and the arguments inside of you, you know, if you are thinking of compromising, you have struggles with stuff, and you know, you, it's kind of like casting down every argument, everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That your thinking, that's not what is the Word, and it's pulling it down and casting it down and saying, God, this is not what your Word says. I believe this, but it's not what your Word says. Lots of times we believe stuff from childhood, what we've been taught, what we've been taught in school, and that kind of stuff. But if it's not in the Word, then you throw it out. Because this is the truth. And you walk by the truth of God's Word, and not by stuff that maybe our parents taught us, maybe it was culture, maybe it was tradition, and that kind of stuff. We need to throw all the traditions and the culture and that kind of stuff out if it's opposing God's Word in our lives. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we spoke about bringing every thought captive. Remember last week we spoke about when the enemy plays mind games with us, we bring every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. And I taught you all how to stand against the lies of the evil one when he starts throwing arrows at you all. Okay, let's go. Putting your confidence in the one true God. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. We petition God, and we have, first of all, we have confidence in God, isn't that so? And that's where we have to really guard our confidence, guard our hearts. If Satan comes and he steals your confidence, and if you don't have confidence in God and he steals your faith, then our faith gets weak, then we cannot stand at all and trust God. And so our confidence is in God. Our confidence, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his will, he will hear us. Do you think God answers every single prayer?
Yes.
Does he answer at the same time? Does it have to be in his will? And if it's not in his will, he doesn't? In his
sometimes
timing?
Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no.
Yeah. And sometimes he doesn't say anything.
Wait.
Yes. And so, and that's where we, you know, and God is God, and we can't question him. And that's why lots of the times is when we pray, if we have to know the God that we trust in. Because if God comes and if we pray a prayer and God doesn't answer immediately, if we don't have a firm foundation in the Lord, guess what happens is we have an A plan and we have a B plan. If God, I'll give you 1 week, if you don't answer this year, I'm going to do my B plan. Or I'll give you 2 days or 1 day, Lord, and if you don't answer, I'm going to go my way. And how often people do that is because, not because they're bad, it's because fear grips their heart. Their relationship really is not rooted in God. They, you know, they've not come to a place that they can really, really trust God, even if it doesn't happen. It's kind of like, I'll give you an example. If you go for a job, okay, and you're so desperate for the job, and they don't call you back, and you just get totally bummed out that, God, I prayed, I fasted, I did everything that I need to do, and I didn't get the job. And, you know, God knows best what we need. And so, you know, probably would not answer that prayer. After 6 months, you know, we look back at the prayer and we think, oh, now I understand, God, why you didn't give me the job, because you did. You wanted something better for me. So it's kind of like when we walk in faith and we really trust him, he knows what's best, because he didn't give you that job because he had something better down the line. And in that period, he allowed you to walk, but he undertook every need of yours. It wasn't easy. But what happened is your faith rose up and you began to trust him. And so that's something that we have to really, you know, have to walk in and know. When we know him, you know, God, you know, I can't see your hand, I know your heart and I know your word, I know what your word says. And that's why the word needs to be so deep in our heart that we don't ever doubt God's word. Because that's what Satan will come and he will try to tempt you and say, no, but you know, maybe this is, and we get our thinking mixed up and we get, you know, and we kind of like allow our reasoning to get in the way. And be careful of your reasoning, because the reasoning of this world, is very quickly we can reason, oh yeah, but you know, but this and but this, but but nothing, you know, but what God's word says, and allow God to really, really give you a scripture. And that's why our relationship with God is so important. It's not when we only have issues, you know. It's like every day if we have that ongoing, then we're not going to, in the times of our battles and our trials, we're not going to struggle through our relationship. We're just going to know, okay, you know what? I'm going through this trial, but I'm going through it. I'm not going to be standing. Any questions? How do we put this authority into action, and how can we walk in the full authority of what Christ left for us through His Holy Spirit? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a huge issue. So John 20:21-23 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And, you know, we as Christians, we know how to say, oh yeah, I forgive you, very quickly. But it's all out of the mouth. And if it's, it first has to be a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. And when we, it's, when somebody hurts you, it's hard to forgive, isn't that so? Your heart gets beaten up. And so, it doesn't, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And when you begin to say, okay, God, this is what your word says. I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose to forgive. Not because I feel like my heart is already healed, because your heart is never healed immediately. It is a choice of doing it and then walking in it. And I'm going to share it again with you, how to walk in forgiveness. Is when you forgive that moment, you walk away and God says, I remember your sin no more. And whatever you ask God to forgive. And then you begin to walk in it. And 2 hours later, half a day later, Satan comes to you and he says, hello, do you remember what this person did to you? And you can do two things. You can entertain that thought. And you know what? You will not even be thinking of that. You'll not be thinking about, oh, Satan's going to attack me. You'll be probably driving down the road. You'll be doing something, but he'll just throw that thought. And we have to identify. The first thing we have to learn is identify Satan's lies. And we have to identify, oh, and we begin to think about it. If you begin to entertain it, it will go from your mind to your heart. But if you identify it and say, no, I am not going to allow it, because if it goes from your mind to your heart, Satan got you. You are going to be flat out all day, oppressed, feeling down and out, feeling hopeless, and feeling like, oh my word, I just forgave that person. How do I walk in this? And so when you begin to identify Satan's lies and his attacks, you begin to walk in the truth and say, no, I'm not Satan. I'm not going to allow that to go to my heart. You're a liar. You begin to pray for that specific person. And as I was saying, if you can pray for that person 10 times a day, if the enemy bombards your mind, you pray for that person every time he bombards your mind. And by the time he's done with you, he's like, I'm not going to be able to attack this person anymore through that situation, because we're walking in victory now. Because you identify. Lots of the times, you know, we know all this stuff, but guess what? We don't know how to identify. Every day, you know, we're just walking every day. We don't identify with the lies of Satan. So we get attacked. Though we say, oh, I know the word, and I'm, you know, saved for 20 years, and, you know, I'm a Christian. But the most important thing is being able to identify the lies of Satan. That's spiritual warfare and walking in God's truth of what God's word says. Amen? Any questions? Did anybody experience that this week? You did?
Yeah, just doing random things around the house, and then all of a sudden it would just pop into your head.
Uh-huh.
To be able to identify it, that was really key this week.
Right.
And to just pray against it, and then it just stopped. And yeah.
Right.
To identify it is really critical.
And in the situation, you begin to really pray over it, pray for the person, pray, and then it will guide your heart. Your prayers would guide your heart that it's not going to be able to attack you. You know, so... That's the key, that's, you know, of just growing with God. And that's what God wants for us. Those are the simple things, but those are the little foxes. The little foxes swallow the vine, isn't that so? Okay, 2 Corinthians 9 through 11. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't let our pride come on the way. Don't let the issues of our hearts, don't let anything that Satan would say, oh, it's not your fault. You shouldn't say sorry, you know. And that's the first thing that's going to come in your mind. She said that, you know. She should say sorry to me. But you know the Holy Spirit getting a hold of your heart. You know, years ago, I shared my testimony with y'all. And y'all know that my ex-husband had an affair with my best friend. And before I got saved, I mean, my girlfriend and I had this fist fight, you know, and I caught them together. And after I got saved, God let me go for 2 years, you know. God was kind of working on my heart, and one day I felt like the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, I have so much good for you, but I can't release it to you. And I said, why, Lord? And he said, because I need you to forgive. And I knew God was asking me to forgive my ex-husband's girlfriend. I mean, and I said, God, she stole my husband. Why do I have to forgive her? But you know what? I had issues in my heart. You know, and it wasn't about that. It was, God wasn't interested in, okay, she stole this, and it was her fault. God was interested in my heart. And it was the issues of my heart. And God said to me, you know, to forgive. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll forgive. And I chose to forgive her, but... It didn't stop there. I knew I had to call her. I had to pick up the phone and I had to forgive. Yes, sometimes God will speak to us, and that is pride. I mean, my pride must have been like, you know, why should I forgive her? You know, but, and I just really humbled myself and I said, Lord, I will do it. And the next day, I called her. She picked up the phone. And I said, you know, God didn't call me to be friends with her. God just called me to forgive. So I called her and I said, you know, I just want to ask you to forgive me for whatever I did wrong to you, you know. And you know what she said to me? She said, last night when I went to bed, she said, you were the last person that I thought about. So what was God doing? God was already getting our heart ready for me to call her. God was softening her heart. Because she could have just said, you know what, I don't want to talk to you. And she put the phone down. You know? But she just said, I thought about you. So I knew that God was in this, you know. And so I just said, please forgive me. And that's it. And I put the phone down, you know. And never spoke to her again until a few years ago. But that's the God that we serve. It's not like it wasn't my fault, it was your fault, you know. It's It's the Spirit of God. When He speaks to you and when you have to pick up that phone and you have to make right, do it. Because that, you know, that in God's heart is much more bigger than anything that we can do for God. I could have went on a mission field, and if I didn't do that, you know what? That doesn't honor God. Doing big things for God doesn't honor God. Doing the little things before the Father's heart, that honors God more when no one is watching and no one is seeing you do the right thing before the Father. That's what honors God. And that's what we have to learn is, we have to learn to honor our dad. We have to learn to honor him in the little things, and we have to allow him to bring trip into our... And then when he does tell us to do something, you know, He is glorified, and we don't take the glory on ourselves. Our authority, knowing who we are in Christ, the body of Christ should stand on the offense and not the defense in the spiritual world. Do you know what this means? That we need to stand on the offense and not on the defense? When you talk about, you guys know about football, isn't that so? And in the... Talk to me.
The offense is you're on the attack.
Right.
Right.
And the defense is you...
You're defending...
Defending.
From an attack.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what, as Christians, we always think that we have to be defending ourselves or defending, you know, and... We have to begin to change our mindset. We don't have to be defending ourselves. We have to go on the offense. We have to be in the offense and go and take what back, what is ours. And so when we begin to pray and we begin to say, we have to stand and say, you know what, this is what the enemy has done to our nation, to our children, and we have to take it back. So we have to be on the offense and be going forward instead of going on the defense and going back, oh, the enemy is choking us and we're dying as a body. And that's what's happening today as the body of Christ. We are dying. We cannot walk in that authority. We're not walking in that authority. We're not doing what God called us to do, as in standing up and taking back our nation, taking back our children, taking back what the enemy is stealing from us. We have to begin to do that. And how? It's by the word of God. By beginning to pray and say, Father, this is what the authority we have, and we're going to be standing. And that's why when y'all pray at the end of the month, how powerful your prayer is. And begin to petition God and say, God, this is what your word says. We're going to stand. We're going to pray for this. And Lord, we're going to see it. Begin to pray and begin to see. Begin to see that how God will begin to change. If y'all begin to pray for Hawaii and specific stuff, you will begin to change your thinking, and you're going to say, God, we're going to take this word, we're going to stand, we're going to apply it, and we're going to know that you're going to answer our prayers. No more that we should begin to pray and say, oh, maybe God will answer. Maybe no, He will answer, because this is what He wants. He wants righteousness of our state. He wants our leaders' hearts to change and turn. There's no... If it's God's will, no, it's not God's will. It is God's will that they come to know Christ, that they walk in righteousness, that they make the right, put the right laws in the state in order, so that we can, our state can be under God, and you know, and we have to change that spiritual atmosphere. We as a church, if we are dying and we just pray because we just have to, but we don't have an understanding that when we do pray, you know what, those strongholds will be broken over our state and over our nation. And that's what is going to be changed in your house church, is when you begin to pray. That's what's going to happen, because you're going to have an expectation in your hearts of God beginning to do it and beginning to take the scriptures and say, Lord, we're taking Hawaii for you. We're taking the authority of the spiritual atmosphere. We are not going to stand and allow and we're not going to allow the enemy to come and allow us to stand and compromise. And we're going to believe. Amen.
I was just thinking, I had a conversation with my brother once about, you know, us being going to Afghanistan, you know, and you know, but I think of that, you know, if we kind of left them to themselves, the terrorists, the enemies, and they just fortified, they planned, they strategized, and then they, you know, attacked the U.S. But once we went there, we, you know, attacking, then they got scattered. They cannot just sit and plan and strategize, you know. And, you know, my conversation with him was, well, either you're going to fight the war there, or they will come to your shore and you fight it here, which is what 9/11 was, right? They came to our shore. And, you know, so I, the same image I get is, you know, being on the offensive, you know, is maybe the best defense, really. You kind of put them at a loss for planning and strategizing and fortifying them, the enemy.
Right, yeah. And when we're on the offensive, we have confidence in who we are in Christ. That we know who we are in Christ and we can be on the offensive. We can't, we wouldn't go like, the enemy would go, you know, but you know, it's like he just comes and he's just like this, yeah, and then we go like, oh, you know, and if we have that authority, you know, we know the authority we have in Christ, we're like, Satan, you have no power here, you have no authority over here in the name of Jesus. We have all the power, all the authority, and that's why we're gonna, when we're gonna teach about the weapons, about the, you know, about the armor, and when, that's when you're gonna know when you put the armor on, when we have the armor on, where you allow sin to penetrate, those fiery darts to come, you know, where the enemy steals from you, you have to recognize and you have to identify and you have to take authority over it and stop it. And I just want to share that quick testimony. And then I was in Wales, God told me to go to London, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales in 2007 to 2007. To go and he said, go and redig the wells of revival. And so I got on a plane and I went. And but I was, and I was in Wales. I was in my hotel room in Wales, and I was praying. And I was probably praying for maybe about three hours, just praying. And suddenly, I had this vision, and in my vision, I saw the spiritual, the first, like, you know, the first, second, second, third, I saw the spiritual atmosphere, I saw a vision, but in that vision, there was demons that was camping out over that city. In the, like, in the spiritual atmosphere, I can see them camping out there, just walking around, and I'm like, oh my word, you know? And then God said, you know, I just felt like God said, just pray, pray. And then I continued to pray. I probably prayed for another about 2-3 hours. And then God opened my eyes again, and I began to look, and they were all gone. It was like that atmosphere was totally clear. And so why God shows us this stuff? Because he wants to show it to us so we know what we identify with what's going on. You know, we're not just blinded to the stuff, the spiritual stuff, because, you know, though we can't see them, it is real. It is, the spiritual world is real, as what you see here is very, very clear. And God can open our eyes to the spiritual world, to, for us to recognize what we're dealing with, what demons we're dealing with, what the spiritual atmosphere we're dealing with. And that's why when we begin to pray, we need to go into and say, God, show us, and begin to ask him to show you that you would be able to exactly go and know, okay, this is what the spirit we're dealing with, this is what we're dealing with, and we cut off the assignments of Satan and his assaults over our individual lives, or over our state, over our nation, anything that we're praying for. Make sense? And I'm sharing those testimonies with you so you can be open to God doing it in your life. I am not special. God can do it for me, God can do it for you. All of us, God wants to use us as that where He places us in our mission field, where we're working, whatever. He can give you a vision of the person that you're praying for, how to pray, what's going on with them, and you can just identify. Not that you want to go and tell a person, hey, I saw a demon in your house, but you know what? begin to know what you're dealing with and begin to ask God to set that person free. You know, so be very wise as Christians, you know. I'm not saying look for good and look for demons all over, but what I'm saying is that in the battle that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts in high places. And that's what we deal with. Okay, binding and loosing. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18:18. The keys to the kingdom. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's see this year. First of all, in the church, unfortunately, can we just go down the piece of wind? You know, the binding, you hear people praying, they bind the wrong things, they loose the wrong things, and you kind of listen, you're like, ooh, you know. And we have to learn how to bind and how to loose. What to bind and what to loose. Okay, we don't bind people, you know. And so we have to learn, because when you talk about binding, is a Greek word of, pronounce it the way you want to pronounce it. To bind, to be, and this is what the Greek concordance says, to bind, be in bond, knit, tie, and wind. And so when somebody is in bondage of some sin, what we do is when we pray, we cut off the enemy from the object. First of all, we deal with that. We cut that binding, and then we bind and we pray your kingdom on the object. We pray God's kingdom to be released, and on the object, loosing from the powers of the demonstration of darkness. So what we do is, if you pray for someone that is going through, you know, an issue of some, whatever sin that person is got, is a stronghold, you know, the stronghold over that person. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be pornography, it could be, that stronghold binds that person. It just keeps them in a tie, okay? And so when we come and we pray for the person, we loose that person from Satan's holds of that sin, what sin is holding them. Because lots of times people don't have the power and authority. They feel like hopeless when they're in that place. Even they want to be delivered, they feel like they can't be delivered because they don't have the strength to be delivered. And because of that, they are in that stronghold. It is that sin is holding them as a stronghold. And when we pray, we begin to cut them off from the works of Satan, from the enemy, and we bind the strong man. We bind the strong man over their lives. We don't bind them. Okay, and we loose them from the powers of darkness, and whatever holds them captivity, we loose them. And so loosing is, and as I said, don't bind people. Rebellion, pornography, alcoholism, that's just pride, jealousy, that's just some stuff that, you know, we can, is sin, but there's like tons of stuff. A stronghold is a sin that has kept someone captive, and we went through all that. Stronghold. Loosing is the Greek word loo, or lo, or whatever. Primary verb to loosen, break. This is break, destroy, dissolve, loose, melt, put off. This is loosing. Loose your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, and that's what we do. We loose God's kingdom as it is on earth. As it is on earth, let it be done in, as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth in this people, in this person's life. And so, and lots of the, and that's where we need scripture. When we pray for this year, ask God what sin you're dealing with, what stuff you're dealing with, of the person, and what, or the city or whatever, and begin to ask God, give you a scripture so you can begin to stand by God's word. Any questions about binding your city? Do you understand?
If you could, Jessica, just give us an example, like a prayer that you would pray, you know, over a city or over a person to loose and to bind.
Okay. Say we're praying over Hawaii. Okay? And one stronghold that God showed me upon Hawaii
Discontent.
Okay? That's, and I'm sure every single person has felt it, but did not identify with it. And this is like, and discontent is something that you know what discontent, but okay, let's say that it's kind of like, it's never enough. No matter how much you work, how much you make, over Hawaii, there's a spirit of discontent that you will always feel like that's not enough. And so begin to identify with it. And then it will bring you a spirit of depression that make you feel oppressed. You feel kind of like hopeless. That spirit of discontent. Like that's a spirit with a stronghold. And the stuff that stems out of there is from discontent is hopelessness, depression, oppression, feeling like, oh my word, why am I in this place? How can, you know? And
yeah,
so,
feeling inadequate.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's just pray for Hawaii, okay? Father, we come before you and we bring Hawaii and we thank you, Lord, for the power of your spirit, Father God, that draws us, that leads us to pray. And Father, we stand against that spirit of discontent right now in Jesus' name. We take authority, Father, over that stronghold, Father, in the name of Jesus. We take authority over discontent in Hawaii, Lord. And right now, Father, we bind that spirit of discontent, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you right now, Father, that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would begin, Father, to release your angels, Father God, upon Hawaii, Father God. We ask you, Lord, that you would loose your people, Father God, from that stronghold of discontent, Father, where that spirit, Father God, would come and hold them in captivity, Lord. We loose them from the spirit of depression, from oppression and hopelessness in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for setting them free. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your plans and your purposes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Standing with Christ, therefore, brethren. Okay, I'm just going to believe that we don't have much time.
Would you like to take a break this time too?
Okay, let's just have a 10 minute break. And you know what? We'll just skip that and we're gonna just go to the armor.
Okay.
Because
that's good stuff.